Hello and welcome to this Royal College of General Practitioners produced podcast on the Quality and Outcomes Framework, or QOFQI for short. My name is Joe Bestford and I'm a Senior Project Manager working the RCGP's Primary Care Quality Improvement Team. You'll be familiar with QOF from the point of view of your day job in general practice, but we're here to talk about one of the QOF Quality Improvement modules and the work of the RCGP through its QOFQI project. The RCGP's QOFQI project is funded by NHS England and NHS Improvements. It's a partnership with NHS EI, Health Foundation, National Institute for Health and Care Excellence, and the RCGP. And the project's been running since 2019 and has produced 10 QOFQI modules and accompanying resources. And this year, we've been busy producing learning materials to support general practice, carry out QOF activity on the two current modules, which are early cancer diagnosis and care of people with learning disabilities. Today, we're talking about the cancer module, but if you're interested in this work or the other work we're doing, more resources, more information can be found on the RCGP website, which is rcgp.org.uk/QOFQI, and the QI Ready portal, which is QIReady, all one word, .rcgp.org.uk. These links will also be in the description. So why listen to this podcast? Well, our aims today are to provide enough information for individuals and teams to better understand what is being asked of them with regard to QOF and to know where to look for further help. To help realise these aims, I'm joined by Dr. Mike Jones. Mike is a GP in East London who has the privilege of optimising quality and safety by way of leading a caretaking practice. He's the Deputy Medical Director of a large GP partnership and he sits on the executive committee of his PCN. Mike is also the RCGP's clinical champion for QOF quality improvements. So for context, Mike, can you briefly explain what QI is and what it means to general practice this year?
Sure. So put simply, quality improvement or QI involves adopting a systematic approach to improve patient care. There are simple tools and techniques which teams can use to identify the smallest change that could improve how care is organised and experienced. And up until recently, for many, the experience of improving primary care has always been felt to be extra. That is a huge volume of additional work on top of an ever-increasing workload. Now, fortunately, word is gradually getting around that QI is a force for good and is actually one vehicle to help solve both workload and everyday practice system and process problems. So this has the potential to free up time for GP staff, excellent, and importantly to help improve patient outcomes. So QOF was put on hold as practices focused valiantly adapting to the unique conditions posed by COVID over recent months. And sadly, evidence suggests that COVID has had devastating effects on patients with cancer, with large numbers of misdiagnoses and delayed treatments due to the health systems being under pressure, and also the reluctance of patients to seek medical care. So this podcast is directed at anybody with an interest in helping improve cancer diagnosis, specifically those working in general practice, be they clinical or admin, and ideally anybody, be they the registrar, the nurse, the prescribing clerk, practice manager, or the receptionist, anybody wishing to lead on juicy change projects within a surgery.
Okay, can you expand on the rationale for including cancer in QOF this year?
So cancer has a massive impact, both in numbers of people affected and on the individual and those close to them. More than 300,000 people received a first treatment for cancer in the UK in 2019. And although cancer outcomes have improved significantly, with thousands more patients surviving for at least 12 months after diagnosis compared to 5 years earlier, international studies have shown that we, the UK, we can still make further improvements. And we in general practice, we play a fundamental role here.
Okay, so there are two indicators included in the early cancer diagnosis module. Can you briefly explain what they demonstrate?
Yeah. Indicator one refers to the demonstration of continuous quality improvement activity focused on early cancer diagnosis. That's in the guidance. So in practice, this demonstration of continuous QI is done in the reporting template. This comprises 6 questions, and I would recommend familiarizing yourself with this template and the questions right at the beginning and keeping these in mind throughout. You could even print it out and put it up somewhere, like in the coffee room, or an internal dedicated data wall or QI wall. Indicator 2 refers to participation in network activity. And it says to regularly share and to discuss learning from QI activity. So practices who felt positive after the last cycle, which was prescribing safety and end of life care modules, practices fed back to us that they said that discussing the QI domain at a PCN meeting early, i.e. in the first quarter of the year or as soon as possible, meant they didn't feel rushed later in the year, which kind of makes sense. Some raised QI as a standing item every 2 months, and another group of practices created regular separate QI meetings away from the busy business PCN meeting in order to devote more time to it. There's actually a how-to guide available for reference at the RCGP website, the QoF QI page, and that was written to demonstrate how to get the best from these PCN meetings from practices and PCN leaders or anybody engaging in QI alike.
Great. And what's the purpose of participating in quality improvement? What's the intended objective?
Well, it's important that practices know that they won't be penalised if significant changes in patient outcomes aren't seen after the end of each year, so after only 12 months. 12 months is a relatively short time to see big changes or big changes in patient outcomes. So NHS England are looking to evaluate the project on a more macro level. I mean, looking at outcomes at a national scale, individual practices won't be scrutinised to that degree. So the aim in participating in QI is that practices can make more autonomous decisions about tackling relevant problems local to them. Each practice is different. So learning about and using quality improvement techniques can hopefully go some way to achieving this in a more sort of robust and structured way. Relating to this year's or 2021-2022, their overarching objectives, as it says in the guidance, the aim is hopefully to improve both uptake in national screening programs and referral practices. And referral practices can be improved by the use of guidelines, professional development, safety netting, and shortening diagnostic intervals. It's important to know that practices do need to work on elements of both screening and referrals, but they're not expected to tackle all 3 screening programs, unless they want to, nor all 4 of the referral objectives. So some will choose to, but others will opt to focus on practice or PCN priority areas, which might prove most advantageous to patient care in their own populations.
Right. And we've touched on some of this, but what do practices actually have to do?
So I think practices need to be clear about a couple of things from the outset. So as I mentioned before, practices need to be clear about the overarching aims. So that's for more practices to feel confident in using QI processes to tackle important clinical problems. And QoF will focus on 2 different modules each year. So we've had 2 years ago, and we've got 2 this year. There'll be another 2 for the next 2 or 3 years. QI encompasses a range of tools and techniques. And you will have seen these or you will have used these before, but probably indirectly. So don't feel wary and try not to feel anxious about using them again in a more structured manner. The first thing to do, if you haven't done it already, is to mobilise a practice QI team and a leader, somebody who's keen to take ownership and to keep on top of this work. It's easy to let things slide. The QI QoF guidance is a very wordy 14-page long document, and it's full of detail. So I'd say start by consulting the one-page visual summary, A4 size, provided on the RCGP QoF QI site. And I recommend circulating this to the team to help others sign up to help. A set of 10 top tips for kicking off a QI project is also found on the college website. The contract guidance, the QoF QI guidance, it only lightly touches on some QI tools. It's not exhaustive. So it wasn't designed to simultaneously teach, and intentionally it's quite generic. So practices should feel reassured that there are helpful resources available relating to both understanding and using QI. So let's say you're a complete novice. The RCGP has got a QI guide for general practice on its website. It's downloadable as a PDF. If you're developing your skills, you may want to look at the Health Foundation website. They've produced an excellent quality improvement made simple document recently. And NHS Education Scotland, NES, has an excellent site. It's excellent and it's crammed with easy to grasp info regarding QI, and it's useful for both beginners and experts alike and everyone in between. In terms of improving cancer outcomes explicitly, Macmillan, I've got toolkits for both screening and early diagnosis of cancer quality improvement. They've also got rapid referral guidelines, and they've got an array of helpful pages. Cancer Research UK, they've also got a very rich pool of resources, including their cervical screening hub and various case studies. And Gateway C have got cancer maps, amongst other resources and tools. So I'd also say that as a team, you need to use your practice data and discussions with staff to identify where you'd like to start. It's best to be frank and to really get to grips with what hinders good care. So NHS England have listed the 5 outcomes where they hope to see improvements. However, they haven't prescribed how to achieve this. It's up to us. So QI allows teams to really get creative and identify the simplest, smallest changes that would work for you. Once aims and measurements have been clearly defined, so measurements so that we can see if things are improving, then changes can be agreed and changes can be tested. Multiple small cycles of change. And when I say small, I mean each change lasting only 1 or 2 weeks is recommended ideally. And that's opposed to massive revolutionary changes, changes that may take months to work out and months to put into place and then weeks to sort of try and identify improvement at the end. So capturing what went well during each swift cycle is key. And so is what didn't go well in order to determine what to do next. So that's really important. Leaders should consider reading the case studies provided at the RCGP QoF QI site. There's loads of ideas about where to begin. There's some really good examples. And I think including patients from the very start is recommended. I think it's essential, but we'd say it's recommended. It can really prove fruitful, not only for generating ideas, but also to provide really candid feedback and to get other patients on board. So I really would emphasize this. And then finally, sharing of ideas, sharing information, sharing successes, and even sharing failures with local colleagues. Now that's crucial to get the most out of these quality improvement domains. And the PCN meetings have been deemed probably the best forum for this to happen. We're trying to avoid working in silos any longer and really sharing what we're doing with others to get the best out of others as well.
Great. Thanks for that, Mike. That's really sort of great whistle-stop tour of the module and what it's useful information to know from a practice point of view. I just want to sort of just finish by asking for your sort of final thoughts on where we're at with QoF in general practice right now.
So I'd say, with this being so very, very different to the old style coif, QI has, in a sense, the capacity to bring people within teams and people between practices together. And it's certainly brought the best out of a range of team members across RPN, PCN, not just GPs. So although COVID meant that QOF QI has had a really shaky start, we're now 2 and a bit years into a 5-year program. So I'd say don't give up. There are thousands of us in the same boat, and there is a wealth of QI support out there for all of us.
Brilliant. Thanks for that, Mike. We hope that that's given you, the listeners, some insight into the cancer module and what to do next. Depending on when you listen to the module, which has been recorded in early August 2021, we have a series of webinars coming up. So we'll be exploring the cancer module in greater depth on the 31st of August. We're looking at QI and QOF in PCNs on the 7th of September, and we'll be discussing the learning disabilities module on the 21st of September. All webinars will be in the evening and can be found via the course and events finder on the RCGP website. We hope you can join us for one or all of them. We also have a companion podcast on this year's other module, Care of People with Learning Disabilities. So please look out for that as well. For more information on all of this, look at the podcast description wherever you get your podcasts. So finally, thank you to Mike for taking us through the module, and thank you to you for listening. Goodbye.